message. And so we are going to start with the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The first law of the Mishnah was that if the killer was convicted and sentenced to have to run to a city of refuge, and then the high priest dies, he doesn't need to go to the city of refuge. Says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason for this law? Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Kal v'chomer, it's logic. Umam yishagola kvar yatsa. If somebody's in the city of refuge, he had to run, and then the high priest dies, he's able to leave. So therefore, Akshav mishalo gala, if he hasn't even run there, but the high priest died, ain't odin shlo yigla, certainly he doesn't have to go. So Gemara says, but that's not good logic. Duma, maybe I could tell you the following. Hi, Degala, if he already went to the city of refuge. Ikaperle, since he went to the city of refuge, that was an atonement. That effort atoned for his sin. Hi, Degala, but if he hasn't yet gone to the city of refuge, lo, so then the death of the high priest shouldn't be enough. He should still have to go to the city of refuge. He's never gone. He hasn't gotten atonement yet. So the Gemara answers, no. Midi galus kamakapra. Do you think that it's the going to the city of refuge, which is the source of the atonement? Misas koinu du makapra. It's the death of the high priest that's the atonement. So once the high priest dies, that's the atonement. And then, you know, once he died, so now the high priest doesn't, the fact he didn't pray for this person is already wiped away. And now the guy's allowed to leave the city of refuge. So if the man can leave a city of refuge, certainly he doesn't have to go in the first place. Again, Misas Kohen, Hudu Makapra, it's the death of the high priest, which is the atonement.
But doesn't it put his life in jeopardy by the family victim?
No, once the high priest dies, the relatives are not allowed to kill him. Then he can leave the city of refuge and the relatives can't kill him. That's right. Then the Mishnah says, "Imad shelo nigmar dino." If before he was sentenced to run to the city of refuge, the high priest dies, so then he's still going to have to go to the city of refuge. And if they appoint another high priest, so then after and then he's sentenced, so then after the second high priest dies, it's when he can leave. Minani Mili, says the Gemara, how do we know this, that the main thing is the question of the high priest at the time of conviction? Amar Rav Kahana explained Amar Kra. It's all hinted in the verse. The verse says, V'yashav ba, and he, the inadvertent killer, shall live there in the city of refuge, ad Mosa Kohen Agadol, until the death of the high priest, asher mashach oso, that he anointed him, b'shem en HaKodesh, with the holy oil. What does that mean? Does the killer anoint the high priest? It makes no sense. Ellis, what does it mean? He will stay there until the death of the high priest who was anointed. He stays there until the death of the high priest who was anointed during his lifetime. In other words, he was anointed even after this man was convicted as a killer. So asks the Gemara, my havel elamebet, but what should this high priest have done? He became high priest after the event occurred. You know, if till now we were talking about a high priest, he should have prayed, and then maybe the killing wouldn't have happened. But here, the killing happened, he was a regular Kohen. Then after he was in court, the high priest dies. Now he gets appointed as the high priest. We say if he dies, so now this man who was convicted under his reign will go free with his death. What should he have done? Why should his death impact this man at all? Answer the Gemara, Hayo lo vakish rachmim sheyigmar dino l'schus v'lo bikesh. He should have prayed that the man who is on trial not be convicted. Right? He's appointed high priest when this man is on trial. He should have prayed that all the people on trial not be convicted. So apparently he didn't pray well enough. And if he would have prayed, maybe the guy wouldn't have been convicted. So therefore, when he dies, the man goes free from the city of refuge. Yeah, but I guess he still should have prayed. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Naktina, we have a tradition that if a murderer kills by mistake, Nigmar Dino, then he was convicted to go to the city of refuge, Vamase. But he died before he could get to the city of refuge, and the high priest is still alive. So Malik Nesatzmos of Lasham. His bones are taken to the city of refuge, so he should be buried in the city of refuge. He has to spend time there. If he can't spend time there alive, he should spend time there dead. Tichsev, as the verse says, Lashuv, to return, Lasheves Baaretz, to sit in the ground, Admos HaKohen, until the death of the Kohen. Wow. Ezeo Yeshiva Shibaretz. What's a sitting in the ground? Sitting in the ground is buried in the ground. Heviomer Zukfur, that means he's supposed to be buried there. Tanuot in a Braisa. What happens if an inadvertent murderer goes to the city of refuge? He was convicted. He had to go to the city of refuge. And then Meis, Kodem Shemeis Kohen Gadol. He died before the high priest died. So as we saw in the earlier Mishnah, he gets buried in the city of refuge. And then the high priest dies. So now, normally, if he's alive and the high priest dies, he can leave. But now he's already dead and the high priest died. So you know what? The same way his bones would be brought to it, his bones are brought out of it. We take his bones out to the family burial plot. Because the verse says, Yashuva Rotzeach El Eretz Achuzah. So after the death of the high priest, the murderer can return to the land of his inheritance. Ezeo Yeshiva. Sheba Eretz Achuzasa, what's the return to the land? How do you live in land? Haviyom HaZukfur, that's a reference to being buried back with his family. Nigmar Dino, let's say he was convicted, that he has to run to a city of refuge. And then, Venasa Kohen Ben Grusho Ben Chalutza, then the high priest didn't die, but the high priest was removed from his position because it emerged that the high priest's mother was a divorced woman, or the high priest's mother was a woman who had a chalitza done to her, so she's prohibited to a kohen. So it turns out that he's a chalal. So now, is that considered death of a high priest or not? So pligi ba, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha disagree. Chad amar mesa kahuna. One says, yeah, that's considered like the high priest dying. So now the murderers can leave the city of refuge. Chad amar one said, no, the high priest didn't die, but la kahuna. It's emerged retroactively that the high priest was never a high priest. So that's not a reason to allow him out of the city of refuge. So the Gemara suggests, Lema, maybe this argument is really the same as we found elsewhere. But Plukta, Rebbe Elezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Kamiflagi, the same argument that we have in regards between Rebbe Elezer and Rebbe Yeshua in regards to the offering of offerings. In a Mishnah, let's say a priest is standing on the altar and he's throwing the different pieces into the fires of the altar, and then somebody comes and says, hey, you're a priest. I know your mother. Your mother was divorced. Ben Grusha. Then it turns out that he's the son of a divorced woman. Or Ben Chalutza, the son of a woman who had a chalitza done to her. So Rebbe Eliezer, Omer Rebbe Eliezer says, Kala Karbana Shekir Psulin. All the sacrifices that he offered are now retroactively no good. They have to be redone. However, Rebbe Yeshua Machshir, whatever was offered is fine. But going forward, he can't offer. So that's presumably this argument. Madam Armesa, the one who says that when we find that the Kohen Gadol is really illegitimate, so then the Kohen Gadol is considered dead. That's Kribi Yeshua. That's what Kribi Yeshua who says that the sacrifices that have been brought till now are okay, but going forward they're no good. So it's like he died. Ma'adamar Batla, the one who says that no, it means that retroactively he never was a Kohen Gadol. That's Rebbe Elezer. That's Rebbe Elezer who holds that once he turns out not to be a worthy Kohen, then retroactively all the sacrifices are no good. So the Gemara says it's not really necessarily the same argument. Alib Rebbe Elezer, according to Rebbe Elezer, who says that when a Kohen is proven to be illegitimate, then all the sacrifices retroactively were no good. All right, that's true, that Kuli Amalo Pligi, that if all the sacrifices retroactively are no good, then certainly it's not considered the Kohen Gadol dropping dead. It's retroactive. So it means that the Kohen Gadol was never a Kohen Gadol. It wouldn't be grounds to release a person from the city of refuge. Ki Pligi, one second, where would there be an argument? Alibad Rebbe Yeshua, though. But according to Rebbe Yeshua, it's not necessarily the same thing. Rebbe Yeshua says that a priest who's discovered to be the son of a divorced woman, what he offered still is okay. So maybe that's not because when we discover that he's the son of a divorced woman, it's as if he dies. No, that's not what's going on. There's a special verse about offerings, that the offerings done by someone who turns out not to have been a Kohen don't have to be redone. So Ma'adamar Mesek Rabbi Yeshua, the one who holds that when we find that the Kohen Gadol is from a divorcee, it's as if he's dead, he'll say, I'm like Rabbi Yeshua. Ma'adamar Batla, but the one who says that, no. When we find out that the Kohen Gadol is from a divorcee, it means that retroactively he never was a Kohen Gadol, he'll say, it's not that I'm against Rabbi Yeshua. He'll say, no, Rabbi Yeshua also agrees to me. Retroactively he never was a Kohen. But in regards to sacrifices, Ad Kalo Kam Rabbi Yeshua Hassam, Rabbi Yeshua said a law in regards to sacrifices. Why? Because the verse says about sacrifices, Tchsiv Barech Hashem Chelo. God shall bless his force. Now, Chelo is from the word Chalalo. God should bless his Chalal, that even though when he offered the sacrifice, he wasn't a Kohen, God will bless it. Upoal Yadav Tirtzeh, and the handiwork of his hands, God will want. So that means, Afilu Chalal and Shabo, even the Chalal, and if they offer, God will accept. Avol Hacha, but that's in regards to sacrifices, where it says, Upoal Yadav Tirtzeh. Avol Hacha, but in regards to the status of a high priest, so Afilu Rabbi Yeshua Moda, that no, it means that retroactively he never was a high priest. So if he never was a high priest, we don't have a death of a high priest to enable the murderer to leave the city of refuge. Yeah, Baruch, a question?
Well, you answer one of my questions right now, and the other one is going back. Are we allowed to remove bones and move them somewhere else? I thought it was against halacha.
Well, generally we don't remove, but if it's to increase the honor of the deceased, we are allowed to remove. So let's say to move someone from outside of Israel to Israel, you're allowed to do so.
And according to the rabbi who says that if the Kohen gets divorced, he doesn't go free, when will he go free then?
He may not be able to ever go free. Right? If he needed to have, right, we saw, if there was no Kohen Gadol at the time of the conviction, he never goes free. All right, so then the Mishnah said, Nigmar Dino, once he is convicted to go to a city of refuge, so he doesn't get out, even if he's needed as a general. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. So now, talking about a story, the Mishnah mentioned, even if he's a general as great as Yoav ben Tsruya. So, Yoav ben Tsruya was a very great general. He was David HaMelech's greatest general. And before David dies, David commands Shlomo to make sure that Yoav meets a violent death, because Yoav had killed two other generals. He had killed Avner ben Ner, and he had killed Amasa ben Yeter. So when Yoav heard this, he runs away to the tent of God, and he holds on to the horns of the altar, thinking that the horns of the altar would protect him, like being in a city of refuge. But it didn't help, and Shlomo takes him off of the altar and kills him. Says the Gemara, I'm Rav Yehuda Marav, Shtei Ta'uyos Ta'a Yoav Ba'osa Shah. Yoav made two mistakes. The verse says, Vayonas Yoav El Ol Hashem. Yoav ran away to the tent of God. Vayachazak B'karnot HaMizbeach, and he held on to the horns of the altar. Number one, he made a mistake thinking that the whole altar is a city of refuge. It's not so. She'eino Kolet El Agago. The horns of the altar are not a city of refuge. What would be a city of refuge is the roof of the altar itself. And he wasn't on the roof. And he was only holding on to the horns. Mistake number two. Sheino kolet elam isbeach beisolamim. It's the altar in the Beit HaMikdash that has the status of a city of refuge. And he grabbed on to an altar which was temporary. Now, it's not exactly the altar of Shiloh. Shiloh was destroyed before Shmuel really becomes the leader of the Jewish people in the days of Eli. We're talking about here the days of King Shlomo. It's well afterwards. But they still didn't have a Beit HaMikdash. So every altar that's not the permanent altar is called the altars of Shiloh. Abaye said there was a third mistake. There was another mistake of Yoav. She'eino kolet. When do we say that the altar is like the city of refuge and it protects the inadvertent killer? Ela Kohen. If there is a priest on the altar, the avoda biyado, in the middle of his service, so then the next of kin can't come to kill him. However, Yoav was not a priest. Huzar, he was a member of the tribe of Judah. He wasn't a priest at all. So certainly being on the altar was not going to protect him. Yeah, question, David. Nice. Oh, good. That's good. Very good point. So Yoav ben Tsruya did not kill by mistake. Yoav ben Tsruya killed on purpose. So the Rajba asked the question that David asked. It's quoted here, we're called David the Rajba. He said, right, he killed on purpose. So the Rajba suggests maybe the altar itself can protect even people who kill on purpose, because it's a very special place. And the Rambam, though, says something else. The Rambam says that the altar will protect people who kill by mistake. And the Rajba says that maybe the Rambam would explain this situation because here it wasn't really a death penalty, right? It was that the man had gone against the king. He'd been Moreid b'malchut. Yoav had not listened to the king. So since it was Moreid b'malchut, which is a little bit different, so that's why the altar could have protected him. But yeah, this is a very good question that David raises. All right, there is a tradition. What's that question?
No.
Oh, good. There's a tradition that in the future, the angel of death, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed, who's the angel of Rome, is going to try to escape to a city of refuge. And God's going to say, well, you made lots of mistakes. You didn't go to the right city, and God's going to kill him. So Amrei Shlakish said, Shalosh ta'uyos asid saro shel romi litos. The angel of Rome is going to make three mistakes. Where do we see? D'chsiv, as it says, Mizeh ba'me Edom. Who is this coming from Edom, from Rome? Chamutz begadim mi batzra, who has garments that are all bloody from Basra. In other words, he thought he was safe, but God went and God killed him in Batra. So what happens? Toei's going to make one mistake. Shena koletas ela betzer. The city that would save is the city Betzer Bamidbar. V'hu golo lebatzra. Whereas the angel of death is going to run to Batra, thinking that that's going to protect him. I remember that after the first Gulf War, it ended with this huge slaughter in Basra. They like killed 100,000 people in Basra. So they said, this is that Gemara, right? This is the angel of death. He got slaughtered in Batra. He thought he would be protected in Betzer, but in Batra, he was wiped out.
They didn't do enough.
Right? They didn't do enough. Toa she'ena koletes elashogeg. He makes a second mistake, right? This is the point that David brought up. He thinks that he can be safe if he's in Batra, but the truth is, a killer who kills by mistake is protected in the city of refuge. V'umezidaya, the angel of death, was very deliberate in all the Jews that he killed. And mistake number three, toa she'ena koletes elahadam. The cities of refuge will protect a person who malachu, he is an angel.
But the concept of city of refuge only applies to Jews killing Jews.
Right? No. Applied to non-Jews who kill by mistake. We saw that earlier.
But I thought it didn't apply to a non-Jew killing a Jew. I think it applied to a non-Jew killing
killing a non-Jew.
That's right. Whereas it's non-Jew killing a Jew.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, also another mistake.
A non-Jew would be free too after high priest death?
The Ger Toshav? Yeah, I think so. The Ger Toshav, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense for a Jew to be released, but not the, Goy.
Ger Toshav lives in Israel. He's a citizen, yeah.
If there's an accidental death within one of the cities, what happens to the person who goes to another city? He has to escape.
We'll see that. That's the next mission. Amar Bavo said he has to go to another neighborhood. So Bavo said, Are Miklat lo nitnu l'kvura. In the cities of refuge, we know really these are cities that belong to the Levites. So the Levites are not allowed to get buried there. Because it says about the Levites, Omigrishehem, and their yards around the city, Yulavam Tamil Rukhusham will be for their animals and their property, L'chol Chayasam, and for all of their animals, L'chayim Nitnu. That means they were given for life, alo l'kvura, but not for burials. They have to be buried outside of the cities. So you might say, what do you mean? The Levites can't be buried, but the murderers are getting buried there. Meisvei, I'll challenge you. We looked at our Mishnah. Shama. The verse says he has to run there, which means Shamte Tira, so there he should live. Shamte Misa, so there he should die. Shamte Kvura, so there he should be buried. So the Gemara says, no. Rotseach Shani, the murderer, gets buried in the city of refuge. Tzigali Berachmana, because that's what the verse says. But the Levites, who are the real owners of the city of refuge, they don't get buried in the city of refuge. The Mishnah then said, Kashem Sha'ir Koletes, just like the city of refuge would protect an inadvertent murderer, so too the yards around the city of refuge would protect the inadvertent murderer. Arminu asked the Gemara, let me challenge you. We learned the verse says, V'yashav ba, he should live, the Brisa says, he will live in it, in the city, ba v'lo b'tchuma. He lives in the city, but not in the 2,000 amos around the city, not in the 3,000 feet around the city, in the tchum. Rabbi Elokash, it's not a contradiction. Kan liklot, in terms of being safe from the next of kin, once he's within the 3,000 feet next to the city, he's safe. Kan, the brisa, is ladur, in terms of living, but he can't live in that area, he has to live in the city itself. So, one second. Ladur, that you have to live in the city, typically, I know that from the fact, in osasada migrash, that the fields of the Levium can't be turned into empty yards of the Levium, and lo migrash sadeh, the empty yards can't be made into fields, and lo migrash ir, the empty yards can't be made into a city, they can't be made residences, and lo ir migrash, that which is a city can't be made into an empty yard. So if he's living in the 3,000 feet around the city, he's turning a migrash, an empty field, into an ir, into a city. Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes said, lo nitzucha ele mechilos. Let's say he wants to live in a tunnel underneath. So if he wants to live in a tunnel underneath, he's not turning the yard on top into a city. But even so, he can't live there. He has to live in the city, not live in the tunnels underneath the yards around the city. The Mishnah says that if the murderer left the boundaries of the city, then there's a dispute whether the next of kin is allowed to kill him or the next of kin has to kill him, whether others are allowed to kill him or others would be killed if they killed him. The verse says, if the relative finds him outside of the boundaries of the city of refuge, the next of kin kills the murderer, ain lo dam. Then there's no blood in that. It's not murder. So that would be maybe mitzvah biyad goel adam. There's a mitzvah for the next of kin to kill. Ein goel adam. And if there is no next of kin, reshus biyad kol adam. Anyone can kill him. That's the way Rabbi Yosef Glili reads it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Reshus biyad goel adam. The next of kin is allowed to kill him. The chol adam, and anyone else who kills, chayav and alav, is a murderer if he kills him. What's that? The closest relative.
Only one person.
Yeah. So my time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says that there is a mitzvah for the next of kin to kill the murderer? So the Gemara explains, Miksiv, does the verse say, Imratzach, if he will kill? No, the verse says, Viratzach, that means, and he will kill, he's supposed to kill. And Rabbi Akiva will tell you, Miksiv, does it say, Yirtzach, let him go kill? No, it says, Viratzach, which means, if he will kill. So now the Gemara has a third opinion.
Sorry, Rabbi, so it's only one person that's allowed to kill his entire family?
It sounds like the Goel Adam is the closest relative.
I don't know if that just reminds me. But the Beit Din first has to declare that it was in the
world. Correct.
And then even once the Beit Din declares that, the next of kin could still kill him if he's not in the city. Right?
That's right.
And when he kills him, he doesn't get
home base.
That's right. Sanctuary city. That's right. This is the issue of the sanctuaries. So Amar Mar Zutcha Bar Tuvia, my Rav, Mar Zutcha, the son of Tuvia, says in the name of Rav, Rotzeach Sheyatzachutz L'Tchum, if the inadvertent killer goes out of the boundaries of the city, Umitzo Gol Adam V'Arago, and the next of kin finds him, and the next of kin kills him, Neheragolav. So Mar Zutcha disagrees. He says that the next of kin does not have a right to kill him. He gets killed for having killed him. Kiman, who is this like? Says the Gemara. Lo Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the lo Rabbi Akiva. It's not Rabbi Yossi Aglili, nor is it Rabbi Akiva. So who? Rav, Damar Ki Ay Tana, is following the following Tana. The Tana linked in a brayso, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, the verse says, V'lo yamus ha-rotzeach adam do lefnei ha-edala mishpat, and the murderer shall not die until he stands before court. Ma tamud lomar, what's this verse teaching us? Lefisha namar, since it says, V'ratzach goel adam et ha-rotzeach, the next of kin will kill the murderer. Yachol miyad, maybe he could kill even without a court case. Tamud lomar, that's what it says, adam do lefnei ha-edala mishpat. He's not allowed to kill him. He's not allowed to kill him. The goel adam cannot kill him at all. It's Bezdin who's allowed to kill him. What does the verse mean when it talks about a goel adam? That means that the Goel Adam is allowed to pull him into Beis Din, allowed to try to get him tried by Beis Din. But if it was inadvertent, he can't get killed. That's another view. This is the view of Reb Eliezer.
Once the court declares it wasn't intentional, what is the guy like?
Then he can't do anything anymore. That's his point.
But according to the other...
According to the others, either he's supposed to kill him or he's allowed to kill him. According to Belezer, the law of Gaal Adam is just that the next of kin can grab, he has standing, he can pull this person into court, but not more than that.
But the next of kin is in court, he can really, he can just kill him.
Can't do anything. According, you can't do it, just can bring him into the court, according to Belezer. That's right. We don't pass him like that, no.
So as soon as he's declared non-intentional, the next of kin, if he's in court, he can kill him? Or he has like a, you know...
Sounds like it, yeah. He has the two sages, he has the bodyguards.
The king could kill him without the court's...
Once he's convicted, then he could get killed.
What's the point of the earbud about that?
He's got to get there. He has to run there.
I'm saying, but Rebellion says he can't kill him anyway.
Oh, why do you need a city of refuge? Yeah, it's a good question.
To give him a head start...
Reb Yossi holds there's a mitzvah for the next of kin to kill. And Reb Yakiva holds that there is a right to the next of kin to kill. So hi, this that the verse says, Adam dolufnei oidala mishpat, that he has to wait till he's stood up in court. So my darshibe, what does that mean? So Ahumi Boile look at Tanya, that's needed for the following Brisa. Rabbi Akiva says, Minayin l'Sanhedrin shero echad sharagas hanefesh. I don't know that if the court themselves see somebody kill, she'inu misinoso, that they do not put him to death. Ad she'yamod bifnei bezdin acher, rather they can go serve as witnesses and he has to stand in front of another court. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says, that a murderer is not killed ad amdo lufnei edal mishpat, until he stands in front of a court, ad she'yamod bifnei acher, until he stood up in front of another court. Okay, yeah, please.
If you use the statement that he could be killed if he leaves the city of refuge,
that's right.
Is that in a sense saying, implying that you have to allow him to enter the city of refuge, and it's only after he...
Well, he has people accompanying him to try to get him there.
But it's almost as if the words say...
Right.
It's only after he leaves the city of refuge, so that gives him the opportunity
to get in. That's right. That's right. So now the Gemara brings a dispute about the murderer who leaves the city of refuge. Tana Rabbanan went in a brisa. The verse says, "V'im yatzo yetzei arotzeach," and if the murderer will leave the city of refuge, and the redeemer of the blood will meet him and kill him, there is no blood. So now, ein li ela b'mezitz. I would think that's only true if he left on purpose. B'shogeg minayin. How do we know that if he left by mistake, that the next of kin is allowed to kill him? Again, not according to Belezer. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says. Im yatzo yetzei mikol makom. If he left in any way. Aiva tanya b'wilent in a braisa. B'mezit nerag. If he left on purpose, he can be killed. B'shogeg, but if he left by mistake, then he doesn't get killed, but Gole goes back to the city of refuge. Lokash, it's not a contradiction. One is according to the opinion that says that when the Torah repeats itself, it's not so indicative of anything, it's just the Torah talking like people. So then we didn't include if he leaves by mistake. But if we say that the Torah is not just repeating itself, so then Yim Yotso Yetzei teaches me that even if he left by mistake, he can get killed.
Sorry,
no problem.
But it doesn't make any sense because if are you going to go to the base din to decide if he left by mistake?
Maybe.
Or
yeah,
he by mistake? I mean,
maybe.
It's like he made a mistake in the first place and killed him, and now he made a mistake
in leaving.
You know what? This
keeps making mistakes.
Kill him. It's time to kill him.
That's killing without a court case. How does he even know whether it's me or Chicago?
That's true. Maybe you have to analyze. You have to ask.
That was a fake base din to begin with.
Amr Abaye said, "Mistabrut makes sense. Commands Amr like the opinion of Bator Kolashim Bnei Adam, and therefore." That if he left by mistake, you're not allowed to kill him. Why? When he leaves the city of refuge, it shouldn't be worse than when he has to go to the city of refuge. Just like right when he kills, if he killed on purpose, he gets killed. If he killed by mistake, only he goes to the city of refuge. So too when he leaves the city of refuge. If he left on purpose, Naragi should be killed. But if he left by mistake, Gole should just have to go back to the city of refuge. Okay, now a new topic, the topic of children. Tani Chad, we lived in a Braisa. What happens if Av Shaharag Bino? Let's say a father mistakenly kills his son. So now, who's the next of kin? The other son. So can another son go and kill his father? So Nasalo Gol Adam. So according to this Braisa, the other son can go kill the father. But another braisa says, no, ein beno nasa l'gol adam. The second son can't touch his father. So there is no situation here of a next of kin. So the Gemara says, it's an argument. So lame, why don't we suggest, ha Rabbi Yossi Aglili. One is Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that there's a mitzvah to kill the murderer. So therefore, the child has the mitzvah too. Ha Rabbi Akiva. The other is the view of Rabbi Akiva, that's just an option. And therefore, when it's a father, and there's such a big avera of touching a father, of hurting a father, the child doesn't have that option. So the Gemara says, but Tizba, do you think that's the case? Bein l'man damar mitzvah, bein l'man damar rishos, mishari. Why would anyone allow him to kill his father? V'amar Rabba bar Rav Huna, v'chein tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, l'kolin ha-ben na'asa shliach la'aviv. A son can never be the court emissary to hit his father, not l'hakoso, not to give him lashes, not l'kidulaso, to put him into excommunication, to curse him, chutz mimesis, except if the father was a missionary trying to get people to worship idols. Shoyam Torah, because the Torah says about him, v'lo tachmo v'lo tachaselov, don't have any compassion upon him. So you see that even though he's doing a mitzvah, he's carrying out the orders of the court, he can't do it to his father. So even if the goal Adam has a mitzvah to kill the murderer, he shouldn't be able to do it to the father. And lo kasha, so you have to say like this, what's the resolution to the dispute between the braisos? Habiv no. The braisa that says that a son cannot kill the father, that's talking about the son. The son cannot kill the father, even though the father killed his brother. However, v'ha, the braisa that says that the son is the next of kin, and he could kill the father, v'ven b'no, in terms of a grandson. Because apparently a grandson has less of an obligation to honor his grandfather than a son. And therefore, he can serve as a killer next of kin against his grandfather.
So the son would hold the law in his hand and do...
Grandson.
Become a...
The grandson, according to the dispute.
Grandson.
The grandson could go kill the father. So now the next Mishnah talks about the what is considered city of refuge. Let's say you have a tree where the trunk of the tree is in the city of refuge, but the branches are outside the city of refuge, or the opposite. The branches are in the city of refuge, the trunk is outside the city of refuge. So, Ilan Shu Omid Beso Chatchum, let's say you have a tree that's within the 3,000 feet of the city of refuge, Vinofo, but its branches are no Techutzotchum, or outside of that area. O Omid Mechutzotchum, or the trunk is outside, Vinofo, and the branches are no Beto Chatchum, or inside the area of the city of refuge. So, Kol Holy Chachranof, everything follows the branches. So if the branches are in the city of refuge, then it's as if the tree is in the city of refuge. And if the man, the murderer, is apparently on this tree, we say, well, look at where the branches are. The branches are inside. He's considered inside. The next of kin can't do anything to him. So the Gemara now asks, Rav Minya, I'll challenge you from a law. We follow the branches. Ask the Gemara, but what about a law of Maaser Sheni? We know Maaser Sheni is supposed to be eaten in Yerushalayim. We learned in a Mishnah, Ilan Shu Omeid Bifneim. If you have a tree inside the wall of Yerushalayim, Vinota Lachutz, and its branches are outside of the wall, oh Omeid Bachutz, or the trunk is outside, Vinota Lifneim, and its branches are inside. So we don't care about where the branches are, where it's leaning. We just look at where this wall is. Within the wall is inside. What's outside of the wall is considered outside. So why don't we have the same thing in regards to cities of refuge? So the Gemara says, "My Sarah Ari Mikla Karamis." You're asking a question between eating Maaser Sheni versus a city of refuge. Maaser B'choma Tali Rachmana. Hashem says that Maaser is about eating it within the wall. Ari Miklat, but the cities of refuge. Bedira Tali Rachmana. That's about where is the person living. So therefore, binofo mitdadrele, the branches are where a person can live in a tree. Bikaralo mitdadrele, a person can't live in the trunk of the tree. And therefore, if the tree's branches are in a certain spot, that's where he's living. So therefore, he's already considered in that spot. He might be considered in the city or outside of the city. So now the Gemara says, okay, so you resolve that question. For Rami Meister and Meister, we can ask a contradiction within the laws of Meister Sheni. The time we went in a Braisa, you have to eat Meister Sheni be Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim. So if you have a trunk in one area and the branches somewhere else, Halech Achra, no, if you follow the branches, and if the branches are within the wall, so you can eat the Meister Sheni even though you're sitting on the trunk, because you're in the wall. Be Ari Miklat, and also in cities of refuge, Halech Achra Nof, you follow the branches. So one second, that's against the earlier source that says that in Maaser Sheni, you just look at the wall. I'm Rav Kana. Rav Kana said, "Lo kash." It's not a contradiction. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda. One is Rabbi Yehuda who says that you follow the branches. Ha, Rabbanan. The other is the view of the Rabbanan that say you look at the wall. The Tanya's we learned in a Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, let's say in regards to Ma'aser Sheni, and there is a cave, Bim'ara, if there is a cave, Holich Achar Pischa, we look at where the opening of the cave is. If the opening of the cave is in Yerushalayim, then a person eating Ma'aser Sheni in the cave, it's as if he is in the Yerushalayim. If the opening is outside of Yerushalayim, he can't eat Ma'aser Sheni in the cave. Be'ilan, and the same is true in regards to a tree, Holich Achar Nofo, we look at the branches, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. So that price that says that in regards to Ma'aser Sheni, it's like cities of refuge, you follow the branches. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. And now the other price that says you look at the wall, that's the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Asks the Gemara, aim with the Shamle Rabbi Yehuda gabe Ma'aser l'chumra. But maybe Rabbi Yehuda was just saying in regards to Ma'aser that you follow the branches in regards to being strict. Namely, maybe it meant to say like this, Ikaro b'chutz v'nofo b'fneim, if the trunk is outside Jerusalem and the branches are inside Jerusalem, k'yechud b'nofo l'motzi parik, the same way that if he'd be in the branches, he wouldn't be able to redeem the fruit anymore, because now once it's in Jerusalem, you have to eat it, you can't redeem it. B'ikaro nami l'motzi parik, he's saying that in the trunk, it's as if it's in the wall and you can't redeem it. But maybe when he's saying if the trunk is in the wall, in the city, and the branches are outside, the same way you have to eat, if you want to eat the fruit, you'd have to, on the branches, because they're outside, you'd have to redeem them first. In the trunk also, you'd have to redeem it first. But in regards to cities of refuge, if the trunk is outside and the branches are inside, we can say the same way that if he'd be in the branches, the next of kin couldn't kill him. If he's in the trunk, the next of kin can't kill him. But if the trunk is inside and the branches are outside, are we going to say the same way you could kill him when he's on the branches? You could kill him on the trunk because the trunk follows the branches and the branches are outside. But he's inside the city of refuge. So Amarava, Sarava said the following answer. Maybe everybody agrees that if the trunk is inside and he's in that trunk, nobody would be able to kill him. But if he's on the branches, in the trunk being inside, the next of kin could kill him by arrows. He'd be allowed to kill him. What's the argument? Can the next of kin turn the trunk that's inside the city of refuge as a step to lead him to the branches that are outside the city of refuge? That the trunk is allowed to serve as a ladder for him to get to the branches, because basically the murderer is in the branches, which is outside. And the other one says that no, he can't use the trunk to get to the branches that are outside. And Rav Ashi said another answer, that both, Rav Ashi like this, my achar anof, what does it mean that in a city of refuge we follow the branches? Af achranof, we also follow the branches. That if you have the branches inside and the trunk outside, we would also follow the branches, and we will say that he can't kill him. So we're strict. Certainly if the trunk is inside and the branches are outside, you can't kill him. And even if the branches are inside and the trunk is outside, we would not allow the next of kin to kill him.